one would expect him to come back with a message that just about everyone he's seen has said the same thing to him. If you want more money, you must produce more reform and more change. Therefore, that could well lead to confrontations with the Mugabe faction here. I think the meeting that he held in Southwark Cathedral in London over the weekend, at which he took a fair bit of criticism from the audience who kept shouting, change, change, at him, this was evidence of how people felt that the new government hasn't changed very much and there's disappointment. And therefore, what he did achieve is probably about as much as you could have expected.
Do you think the government overall is backing Mr. Tsvangirai's visit, or do you get the feeling that they are a chorus playing along just for the sake of encouraging greater international assistance?
I think there's some truth in the belief that they're playing along to try and get the assistance. On the other hand, when you see the state media, the media that's still loyal to Mugabe, it's enjoying what it sees as Tsvangirai's failure. And therefore, one gets the impression that they see the failure of the mission, as they would portray it, as being a setback for Tsvangirai.
Considering the lowered expectations that the unity government has not yet proven its commitment to democratic reform, do you think that the amount of aid pledged so far has met or exceeded hopes before this visit?
It's very hard to say. I think that it depends who you are, really. Some people were very hopeful that there would be substantial amounts pledged. But I think the realists knew that there were two issues, really. The first issue was the political side, the fact that the Mugabe administration is still partly in place. And the second is the economic side, that the government here has failed to put together a sort of a medium-term program to convince donors that they have a plan, a program, and they know what they want to do. And I think those two things added together have resulted in these rather poor results from the aid-raising mission.
How concerned are you that most donors have sought to bypass Zimbabwe's treasury and donate funds through humanitarian and other public channels?
I think that was always expected, quite honestly. You know, it was always clear that the aid that was going to come was going to be humanitarian assistance or humanitarian, so-called humanitarian plus assistance, most of which would go through NGO agencies of one kind or another rather than through the government. You know, the important point really is does this have an impact here politically or not? And when you read some of Tsvangirai's speeches, you're left with the feeling that it's not having much of a political impact, perhaps because he expected it anyway.
Does the amount of aid pledged as humanitarian aid increase the likelihood that it will reach the people it is intended for?
I think so, very much. I think had it gone to government, the chances were it may well not have reached the people it was intended for. But I think the minute it gets to humanitarian agencies, NGOs, the chances are that it will find its way where it's most needed.
And countries say they are prepared to offer more support if reform efforts in Zimbabwe gain momentum. What do you think that will take?
I think it really boils down to progress on the law and order side, human rights, you know, all these issues of people being arrested, particularly human rights demonstrators and activists and so on. And the other, of course, is the area of the media. There's so much attention is being paid to the clamps on the media that appear to be still in place.
$8 billion that Zimbabwe leaders are seeking is a lot of money to rebuild the economy. Do you see trends in land ownership, for instance, changing the practices and policies of recent years in order to get this money from abroad?
No, I don't. There's no real momentum for changes in land ownership. I mean, it is an issue so far as a minority of people are concerned, but I suspect that the majority of the people see it as a low priority. I don't think many people tie it to the attainment of inflows of aid. I think they're seen as two very separate issues.
Do you think Zimbabwe can expect to have a new constitution within, say, a year and a half or so?
I think that's very optimistic. You know, the constitution planning, I think there's a committee of 35 people who are supposed to start work on it. And this is a slow process. I think it'll take nearer 3 years than a year and a half.
And what about new elections? When do you think the earliest date might be?
Well, if you work on 2.5 to 3 years for a new constitution, that gets you to sort of sometime in 2012 as being the likely time for fresh elections.
So you think that the elections will be pretty much coordinated with the timing of a new constitution?
Yes, very much so. That was always agreed in the so-called global political agreement, as they call it, the GPA. It was always stipulated that there would be a constitution within 18 months, and then there would be an election immediately thereafter. Well, if the constitution takes 2.5 to 3 years, we won't see an election until the second half of 2012.
And how do you think Southern African countries are reacting to Mr. Tsvangirai's visit and interaction with countries in Europe and North America?
I suspect there's not an awful lot of interest, really. You know, so far as many of the Southern African countries were concerned, it was just an embarrassment to have the problem festering away. And ever since the agreement, I think most of the Southern African countries have been only too pleased to sort of be able to push it onto the back burner and pretend it's not there. Botswana is the one country, I think, which may feel strongly about the situation. But the rest, even the South Africans, their feeling is we have problems of our own, and they would rather Zimbabwe just got on with it and didn't attract all the adverse publicity that it has.
In all, Mr. Tsvangirai has won pledges of new aid from Britain, the United States, Germany, Norway, countries he's visited during this tour. How do you think he's done overall?
I think from a sort of strictly realistic viewpoint, he's probably done about as well as you might have expected. I mean, expectations here were really quite low as to what he could achieve because of all the